What's up, everybody? Great to have you once again. A lot of interesting things happened. Some Champions League upsets, as we predicted. So without further ado, let's dive into the latest episode of Barcode Podcast. Josh, how are you doing, man? Hope you're well.
Yeah, I'm great. Amazing Champions League football. I think you gave us a little too much credit there. We said Real Madrid could make the comeback, but I don't think we actually predicted that they will do it, like, for sure.
But I remember saying there's no way City beat them at the Bernabeu. I don't know if you remember that. Like, I remember
you said it, but then it was still possible.
Yeah. But remember when I said it, I followed up and said that I think the first leg City did enough, but I'm not too sure. And at the end of the day, the reason why I was not too sure because I think City needed that cushion. But at the end of the day, man, these things happened. It's just, it goes back to, you cannot always rely on the system. Football is beyond just playing systematically. So, yeah.
Since we're already on the game, how are you looking at, first of all, Madrid? How do they keep doing this? Is it jazz? Is it voodoo? Is it just the mentality? Like, is it the history of the club? What exactly is it? Is it just Benzema? Like, I'm confused.
I think it's a mixture of everything you just said. It's a mixture of them. You can add the voodoo too. I think it's a mixture of everything. Obviously, Madrid, they have the quality. If not, they won't be able to pull off those kind of offsets consistently. They have the quality. And people say it's they're lucky, man. I don't subscribe to it. They were never lucky.
That's nonsense. There's no luck.
Yeah.
They took advantage of mistakes from their opponents. As simple as that.
Yeah, and then when you look at it from the other side, you see that yes, mistakes were made, but Madrid forced those mistakes to happen. They forced it. That's why at the end of the day, like as much as me myself being a Barcelona fan, I always say it, do not write Madrid off in anything because if you don't bury Madrid, Madrid always claws back. Like. We've seen it
Let me make a confession, yeah? That what you just said now. Before the match, I was not writing off Madrid, yeah? During the match, first half, I did not write them off. But immediately Mahrez scored that goal, I went on my WhatsApp and I posted it's over. No, I posted game over. Like, I really thought that this time around, because Mahrez scored what? Around 70-something minutes. Was it not? 78 or whatever it was. And I felt like City, with the quality they have on the pitch, knowing what was at stake, I felt like it was not possible. Even some Madrid, I couldn't believe this when I heard it, but they said some Madrid reports going around are saying that some Madrid fans actually left the stadium early, like around the 85th minute. So even some of the fans did not believe, even after seeing it against PSG and Chelsea, they thought that this one was too late. So, as much as I would agree with you, don't write Madrid off. But in this case, we had the right to write them off, didn't we? 90 plus 1 and 90. Like, how?
The truth is, when Mahrez scored the goal, I was like, okay, I think City have that cushion now. Then when Ancelotti made that change, and I said this to you, I never knew Camavinga had that kind of passing ability. The way he came on and started distributing passes, I was like, there's still a chance. Then City, that's why I said Pep Guardiola coached a masterclass. Pep Guardiola identified that yes, his team is being pinned down. What did he do? He brought in Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish now.
Who disagree with you because they judge just the results?
No. I love football very well. So I see pictures beyond just results. So when he brought in Jack Grealish, what did Jack Grealish do? Jack Grealish was able to dribble and create space. He now, even Jack Grealish created two chances for himself, which one was cleared by Ferramendi from the line. Then Courtois saved the second chance.
With his studs. So if his studs were just shorter by just a bit, it would have gone in.
When I saw immediately, especially the Mendy clearance, when that Mendy clearance happened, that gave Madrid the impetus. You could see now they could believe. And immediately that first goal entered.
The second goal was going to enter.
I just said to my friend on iMessage, I was like, yo, see what we're saying. See what we're telling them on Clubhouse. And boom, the second goal entered. I've not even finished typing. The second goal was already in. So it was as if I'm even talking about the second goal instead of the first goal. So at the end of the day, when the extra time came and they gave Madrid the penalty, there was this guy too. I told him that Madrid, they will get a penalty in the game. I told him, and boom, they got it.
You're a prophet.
No, I'm not saying, like, that's what I'm saying. I've sat down so many times to watch Madrid and pray for their downfall, but always, they're always there. That's why I can give you the script, because I've seen it time and time.
So there's something I always say. Well, you know how I like using, obviously, we're in Nigeria, so I always use Nigeria when I'm saying all these examples. You know how in Nigeria, Man U fans hate Chelsea, Chelsea fans hate Liverpool, Liverpool fans hate Arsenal fans hate, like, everybody just beefs each other, right? And I always tell people, there are three clubs that you should not waste your time hating on, because you will cry every week if you're hating on them. You see Bayern, you see Madrid, then you see Barcelona before this season. Don't waste your time. You will hate, and 80% of the time you'll be disappointed, because they will succeed upon all your hating. So I cannot even hate Madrid. Like, why am I hating them? I'm wasting my time. Like, let me just be neutral and enjoy football. Do you get?
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, to me, the entire collapse falls down to something a friend was telling me, Michael. You were saying he was happy that Madrid got the win. I was asking him why. He said something that stuck with me. He said, like, today, that game showed that no matter how football wants to evolve, the fundamentals of football still remains the same. You need a fullback that can actually defend and can actually keep an offside line with his centre backs. And you actually need a goalkeeper that can actually stop shots instead of just spraying passes. And when I looked at it, I was like, there's so much truth in that. Because when you look at the goals, Cancelo kept a terrible line and he played everybody on side. Then, Ederson was waiting for God to come down from heaven to tell him to catch the ball. That Rodrigo eventually stole from him and scored from. So yeah, it's true because if you look at it, those moments were just the basics, the fundamentals that City players failed to adhere to. So yeah, that's what killed them. I think Guardiola coached a masterclass for 90 minutes. I think what we saw in the second half was a team that was not balanced, because he has already made the substitution when they were already one goal up. And the substitution made for them when they were one goal up were actually good substitutions. But now, going into this extra time, they were already there and they were in that balance and that shape wasn't there. But yeah, for 90 minutes, Pep Guardiola coached a masterclass.
Okay, so I won't go as far as masterclass because they lost. But yes, he coached well. See, the thing is, to me, Pep didn't make any mistake. And here's why. They were leading. De Bruyne had a knock. I've been seeing a lot of people say he shouldn't have taken De Bruyne off. He's their best player. Yada, yada, yada. Blah, blah, blah. De Bruyne was not himself. Everybody could see it. De Bruyne had a knock. He took him off for Gundogan, who was involved in the in the Mahrez goal just a few minutes after coming on. So that was a good sub as far as I'm concerned. You want experience. You see, in situations like this, you need people with ball to you. People with, like, people who will not choke under pressure. And who is the number one person in Man City that you know will not choke under pressure? It's their captain, Fernandinho. So he brought him on, a defensive midfielder. He took off the goal scorer. And some people will say he's being defensive or whatever. But knowing Pep, and the way he always used to do only attack before, this time around, trying to be logical with his tactics and know that, okay, we don't need to press too much now because we have the lead. Let me bring on Fernandinho to choke the midfield, which for me was a good move. Or it didn't work out, but it was a good move. Another thing I look at when I don't criticize coaches, why I don't criticize coaches sometimes is, the coach can only do so much. Now, the coach can make you play well, can give you patterns of play, coach you on how to distribute the ball, when and where not to play passes to at whatever time, depending on the position your opponents take up. And if you look at City created not a lot of chances like the first game, but City created decent chances and they scored first. And so, even if they miss chances, that's not on Pep. That's on the players that miss the chances. Then defensively, you see the positions they were taking up. It's just Cancelo that messed up in that, what you talked about, the line. But apart from Cancelo, you could see that the rest of the team did something else. And that was what they were coached to do. So Cancelo's mistake is not on Guardiola. So if it was the entire defense that was in shambles, I would say, okay, it's the coach that didn't tell them how to stay where or whatever. But the fact that you could pinpoint Cancelo, you can pinpoint Ederson hesitating on the cross, you can pinpoint Diaz for a lazy tackle that led to the penalty. The fact that you can pinpoint these individual mistakes, to me, shows that the manager is not to blame. Now, a lot of people want to see great people fail, not just Pep, but even celebrities are not even involving football now, but just celebrities in general are hated on. You see red carpet, somebody who wear cloth, you go to Twitter, people are bashing the cloth. I'm like, are you not jobless? This person you're insulting is making money. You are here crying about the cloth they wore on red carpet. Like, people just have issues in life and they just want to put it on the celebrities that they don't like. So it's the same thing with Pep. People want to see him fail. People want to see Mourinho fail. More on Mourinho later. People even mock Mourinho's success, saying that his success now is a joke, is a failure. Like, that's just the world we live in. So I'm not surprised a lot of people are calling Pep a fraud and all those nonsense. But my question to them is, if Pep is a fraud, then who are the good coaches we have in world football? So having said that, I'll still go on the flip side. Congratulations to Ancelotti and Real Madrid. Ancelotti is just, I mean, that guy is, his man management skills are immense. You know how we talk about the best midfields of the last decade. You know, Xavi, Iniesta and Busquets are right up there. Of course, you know that. I don't need to tell you, right?
Yeah, sure.
But to me, the second midfield there is Casemiro, Kroos and Modric. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah. For
the last decade, right?
Yeah, but of course.
The reason I'm saying this is, Real Madrid make this comeback with none of them on the pitch. None of them was on the pitch. Casemiro went off, Kroos went off, Modric went off. The midfield was Valverde, Camavinga, who was the last person?
They
brought in Rodrigo. I know Rodrigo came on. They brought in Asensio, an extra attacking player. Yeah, they brought in Asensio. So you could see that.
They changed their midfield. They were playing with just two.
Two holding. So it tells you something.
Yeah.
And Camavinga. So it tells you something. It tells you that the manager has put that belief in them. That because, you know, we talked about the fact that he hardly rotates, he starts the same people. But what he does or what he never fails to do is that he always gives these guys 30 minutes. sometimes, depending on how comfortable the game is, even 35 minutes, then the odd start here or there, what it's telling them is, I know you're not ready, but I don't think you're useless. I know you are useful and you are the future of this club. So that way he's, and obviously I'm sure he talks to them on the training ground one-on-one, and you could see that belief. You could see that they were not fazed by the occasion, Camavinga especially. So for me, Ancelotti is just is one of the best coaches of all time. We can't praise him highly enough. Another team that deserves praise, as far as I'm concerned, apart from their keeper, Villarreal. This game was, for me, it was dead after the first leg. Like, if you had asked me, I would have said Liverpool would win comfortably the second leg itself. But then we saw the first half and I could not understand what was going on. We saw a completely different Villarreal. Villarreal that was facing high up the pitch. Villarreal that was playing fast-passing football. Villarreal that was not allowing Liverpool to breathe. There was no space. Liverpool were misplacing their passes everywhere. Before it fell apart in the first half, they deserve some praise. Sorry, before it fell apart in the second half, they deserve some praise for the first half performance, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do, and rightly so, because when you look at the game, they took the game to Liverpool in the first 5-10 minutes. They got their early goal. Very good goal. Team build up. At the later stages of the second half, and the first half, I mean, they got the equalizer on aggregate. So, the thing is, at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. When you look at it, Arnold being not composing himself defensively, you see the same errors. Right? When we say people try to complicate the fundamentals of football, know where your man is going for the header, make sure that they're not seeing the back of your shirt, all those good stuff that they usually teach in our secondary schools, you know. But now, the art of defending has been lost. So at the end of the day, it just goes, I'll just take away from the game is, as good as Liverpool is, you can still see that they are very, very vulnerable. They are very, very vulnerable. If you are able to pass calmly and don't panic when they put you under that, that's like you have a lot of joy because the spaces are there, especially with those, yeah, with the highlight that they keep. But yeah, Villarreal put up a good fight.
I just want to say, Klopp gave a classic line. Like, this is one of the lines that will never be forgotten. He said that at halftime, he talked to his assistant, to talk to the statisticians, the stat guys, and just for them to just find a clip, even if it's just 1 minute, whatever, just find a clip and show for him to show the players that, boys, this is what we did. This is the good part that we had in the first half. We should do more of this. And he said that they couldn't find one single good phase of play in the entire first half. That's how bad they were. So for me, I will never forget that statement. For the second half, though, blame for me, 90% blame goes to the keeper, Geronimo Rulli. But
yeah, we said this in the first leg.
He refuses to catch, but he only punches his contract. But then 10% goes to Emery. 10% goes to Emery. I'm sure some people will be shocked. Here's why. Villarreal regressed from their first half performance. Villarreal were like, okay, now we're level on aggregate. Okay, now let's make sure that Liverpool don't score. Instead of saying, now we're level on aggregate, let's try and win the game. Because they dropped just that bit deeper. And Liverpool, once you give them an inch, they take 9. Once you drop just a bit, they'll make sure they push you back further. And Villarreal's intensity in the second half, at the start of the second half, was not the same as the first half. I'm going to say one thing that is going to sound ironic, but I think it would have been better for Villarreal if they were leading 1-0 at halftime, not 2. Because then they will still come out in the second half with that high press and high energy, knowing that we still need to score to get back into the tie fully. But because they had equalized on aggregate, they went back to their first leg gameplay instead of the first half.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Like, there could have been more impetus to actually continue with what they were trying to do in the first half. Well, at the end of the day, I just feel like in a 90 minutes game, I said this already when we're doing the watch along on Clubhouse, said in a 90 minutes game, I don't think you can keep that intensity up with Liverpool. So,
I know they couldn't have done it for 90 minutes, but at least they could have done it for 60, 65, but they did it for only 45.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I felt like they dropped off at the wrong time. Like, when they were supposed to drop is maybe at the 70th to the 65th.
Let's even put it like this. They were not supposed to drop off, but your body cannot take 90 minutes. So just drop off when your body cannot take it anymore. Like, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's logical for Liverpool to come out of the dressing room trying to get back into the game. So now that's first 10 minutes of the second half. You need to hold your ground. You need to stand out. But the goalkeeper just messed the entire thing up. Like, the goals they conceded, like, it's just shameful. He has outdone Karius in the Champions League. Let me just be real with you.
But let me give you a shocker. Are you ready for this?
Okay, go on.
Geronimo Rulli was between the sticks when Villarreal beat Man U in the Europa League final. This same keeper beat United.
he was the one that saved that David De Gea's penalty, you know.
this life no balance, actually. Like, if you actually think of it, someone that dashed Liverpool like 3 goals over the 2 legs was victorious against David De Gea, who is a better keeper. It just shows you that football is a crazy game.
What thing you know is that giveaway is not for everybody. Not everybody can chop from giveaway, so that's it.
Well, I know it's a bit early now to make final predictions, but Salah was virtually, I would say he was running his mouth after Liverpool qualified. He was saying, give me Real Madrid. I want revenge. I want revenge. But then be careful what you wish for, right?
Exactly. Like, people don't understand that Real Madrid are finals. They are a different animal.
Like, Real Madrid have won their... Okay, sorry. Just to emphasize on what you just said. Real Madrid have won their last 7 Champions League finals. Both when it was called the European Cup and now it's called Champions League. And in their history, they've played in 16 finals before now. They've won 13, as we all know.
Because you can see, that is a mad start. Well, and people forget that Real Madrid, they don't have anything to play for again. Like, they're in cruise control in the league. They've wrapped it up. They can basically give the fringe players game time so that some of them can pick up form going into the final. But Liverpool, they still have to exert themselves in the league, still battling on 3 fronts.
You know it could backfire, not having that much sharpness.
No. There's Ancelotti is an experienced manager. Of course,
you know how to manage.
Of course, like, for example, Benzema will still play. Vinicius will still play. Because those guys, they need to keep their numbers up. But they won't be playing. There won't be any stupid risk. Once the 68th minute, they take them off. You understand? Like, there won't be any stupid or drastic risks whereby they will be playing 90 minutes.
Or even bring them on instead of starting them every time.
Yeah, exactly. So I
actually trust Carlo. He knows what he's doing. Don Carlo. Yeah. He's called Don Carlo for a reason.
Yeah, I think this is the time they'll give the tourist Hazard. Hazard is not a tourist because when I was watching the game, he was celebrating like a tourist. I was like, look at this guy with the cap.
Bro. Chelsea are cashing out. Chelsea got 9.25 million, I read, euros. For Real Madrid winning the La Liga because of Hazard. 9.5 million.
That is good. Hazard didn't even contribute.
And including there's another clause for the Champions League. So everybody in Chelsea, both the owner, both the new owners, both the board, all of them are going to be supporting Real Madrid. You can be sure of it because another maybe 10 million is coming if Madrid win it.
That's cool cash. That's good. But bottom line is, I think this is the time where those fringe players will be given the opportunity. Gareth Bale, could possibly see Gareth Bale coming to the fold as well, giving game time so that everybody...
If he agrees to play.
I think there's nothing to lose. That will be send-off game at Paris. So I don't think there's nothing to lose. Gareth Bale is like the second top goal scorer in finals. Ronaldo is first with 4 goals in Champions League finals. Bale is 3. Bale has 3 goals in Champions League final. He scored a brace against Liverpool, if you remember, I think 2018.
Yeah. So, gifts. One of them was a gift from Karius.
One of them was a gift, and the other one was an outrageous goal.
The other one was
an outrageous goal. One of the best goals you've seen in Champions League final.
I think the best. To me.
I've seen overhead kicks in the final. I remember Mandzukic won. The Mandzukic won.
Mandzukic lost, so it didn't mean anything. No, you have to look at the importance of the goal as well. Come on.
Okay, well, fair enough. In order not to dwell into the topic, I think it to be a cracking final, but I will forever hate Man City because they've put me in a position where I have to support one that trashed me 4-0, and now they're about to clock 7. Or I support my bitter rival, who is about to clock 14.
What's Barcelona on in Champions League? 6, right?
No, 5. They're still on 5.
It's still on 5. And you wanted to catch... Are you sure Barcelona... Wow, I thought Barcelona was on 6, actually. Wow. Okay.
They're on 5. Well, I'll just be watching the final as a neutral because I'd rather put a gun in my head than support anybody. So...
It's not that deep. For me, I'll also be neutral, but then I would say first of all, let me address this Salah statement. To me, it's naive. Because you can feel something in your heart. You can feel it. You can tell your family and friends, yeah. But this is not something you should be saying in public. I'd rather have a situation where Liverpool win the final, like if I'm Salah now. Liverpool win the final and then you come out in the press and you say that we won the final because we wanted revenge. Like, when you've won it, not for you to come and be saying we want revenge before you've even kicked the ball. You get, to me, there's no point. You're not gaining anything by saying it. Madrid are not going to be scared like, oh, he wants revenge. You get, you're not gaining anything by saying it.
He thinks he's played against, if Liverpool are mentality monsters, what do you think Real Madrid are?
they invented mentality itself, so
yes, so you can't be playing all those mind games with them. You can't be playing it with them.
But right now, I would say Liverpool are favorites. But then, what does that really mean? Because PSG, Chelsea, and Man City were favorites against Real Madrid. So I don't know. Yes, man.
Exactly. So that's to me, that's just it. At the end of the day, I think it will be a cracking final. It can go either way.
Yeah. Easily. Like, anybody could win 3-1 and I won't be surprised. Okay, so now for the league this weekend, Liverpool are still hunting City. City obviously have that 1-point lead. Liverpool Spurs, massive game. I think the biggest in terms of both sides facing this weekend. Spurs need the win for the top 4. Liverpool for the title. Who wins?
I think Antonio Conte would have been watching the Villarreal game. I think Emery gave him some blueprints to use. If Antonio Conte was watching the game, I think there's some lessons he can take from the Villarreal game, because when you look at it defensively, they were vulnerable to crosses. Liverpool, they were very vulnerable to crosses, and in the turnover, while Liverpool handled it well, you can still see that they were stretching them using the wings and running at them. So I think it will be an interesting game. I think it will go back to the way we saw the last fixture ending, a cracking game between both teams. I think this is a game Harry Kane will thrive on, because Harry Kane will give those passes to Son and Kulusevski very, very well. To me, my own prediction will be, I think it would be a draw. I don't, I don't, I don't think Spurs will lose that game.
It's interesting you say that because I have a gut feeling that the title will be decided this weekend. So to me, City or Liverpool are going to drop points this weekend. Like, I just feel that way. I don't know who is going to drop points. But looking at the fixture, common sense will tell you that it cannot be City to drop points, right? But then, at the same time, Liverpool is at stake. So, it's very hard to call. I think if Tottenham play exactly like they played the first meeting between these two, I think they win. Because what Tottenham did in that first game was, as you made some points highlighting how Villarreal played in terms of crosses. If they can mix that with what they themselves did the first game, which is these long, accurate passes, fast passes, don't just in the air. And you know all this, you know there's some long passes that you're waiting for an eternity for the ball to drop. That's not going to
happen. Because Liverpool can recover easily from all these guys.
Van Dijk and Matip are going to, like, not be Matip, it might be Konate. Are going to be in position before the ball drops. So just fast passes. You don't need to aim for their head. Just make sure that you've played it over the midfield you need. And if they do that well and accurately, then I can see that I'm getting something from this game. Now, Leicester City will be very disappointed still. I really don't know how you bounce back from something like this, but they have to. I was asking some people this on my contact list. I was like, do we expect City to be ruthless now from now to the end of the season in terms of not dropping any point? Or do we think it's going to affect them negatively and then they lose the league as well as other things they've lost already?
Wait, before I answer that question, let me give you an interesting let me give you an interesting start. Newcastle have never, I repeat, Newcastle have never won a league game at the Etihad Stadium. 2 draws, 14 losses, and last. See. Let me just put it like this. City, they are a wounded animal. This is the only thing they have to play for. The Carabao Cup is gone. The FA Cup is gone. The Champions League is gone. And now they cannot afford to lose the league because they are in pole position. I think they'll win. I want to say comfortably. It might not be comfortably because...
I expect them to win comfortably, to be honest with you.
The reason why I don't say comfortably is maybe they are still suffering from mental problem.
If you're suffering from any mental thing, you're not playing for Pep. Pep is ruthless.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I expect City to win the game, like something like a 3-1. So I expect them to win.
Yeah. But then, let's just play devil's advocate for Liverpool fans for a minute. If City end up losing the league title, would they be the best team to finish trophyless in a season?
Well, Liverpool
it will be the most painful thing ever. When did Liverpool?
No.
Liverpool won the Champions League. Yeah.
No. I was thinking league. But it's true. It will be painful. That's why they can't afford to. They can't afford that kind of mistake. I think
they will actually be the best. I'm thinking of Bayer Leverkusen in 2002. Where they finished second in the league and then finished as runners up in the Champions League as well. I think City are better than that Bayer Leverkusen team. Obviously, they are better. So Bayer Leverkusen have that record of the best team to finish trophyless. I think City will top that if they finish trophyless.
For their sake, I hope they don't because they've entertained us very well.
On what record exactly? You don't want to be the best to finish trophyless. If anything, you want to be the worst that wins a trophy. Look at Chelsea 2012.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like the worst. That's the worst individual, like, performance-wise, like, that's the worst Champions League winner we've had in a single year. And then, I saw a tweet just quickly. I know I'm going off track. I saw a tweet saying that the Chelsea City final last season was the most boring Champions League final. I beg to differ.
No, the most boring Champions League final I've watched.
Liverpool Tottenham, right?
Yeah, Liverpool Spurs. That's the most boring
that
one.
That was cold. Like if it was a Premier League, see how bad it was. If it was a Premier League game, I would have just switched off the TV. But because it was a Champions League final, I'm like, oh, I have to watch. Oh, let me not stop watching. Like, I was forcing myself, I was begging myself to watch.
That's the thing. Come to think of it, all the finals I've watched Liverpool played, they've struggled. They've stumbled. Like, once they won, they stumbled over the line to win it. All the finals I've seen on that club, they've struggled. That even the Chelsea one, they won few weeks weeks ago, some weeks back in February.
Yeah.
They still struggled. Chelsea could have easily won that game. Like, Chelsea had the better chances. They were not just clinical.
I mean,
so like, my point now is, that would be a poor record to carry. If they continue that way, Real Madrid will surely smell blood. So that's why I'm just highlighting it.
I mean, to be fair, finals are finals for a reason. You're supposed to be playing a very, very strong team. So I can't really knock them for struggling in finals, because if you're meant to struggle in any game at all, it should be the final. So I agree with you. I agree with you. But at the same time, I think it's a bit harsh, right? So saying that. So just one more interesting stat. Real Madrid had won their last 7 Champions League finals, right? Guess the last one that they lost.
It was to Liverpool now.
In Paris. In the same city. In 1981,
yeah. So
can history repeat itself? We'll see. Arsenal this weekend, big game against Leeds. Leeds need the points to survive. Arsenal chasing top 4. Something has to give.
I think you cannot. Arteta cannot mark his new contract with a loss. Yeah, he needs to come up with something. Yeah. I think they need to come up with something. I especially that some games that I just expect Arsenal to be winning, and this should be one of those games. Like, Arsenal's ambitions this season relies on their getting those top 4. Arsenal's ambition next season relies on their getting top 4. You could see from the interview today that they were praising Arteta, him being ahead of schedule. The sporting director came out to say they will still have a very big summer this summer. So if they achieve that top 4, that can only happen.
They will have that big summer. Yeah.
Yeah. So they cannot afford to bottle this thing against Leeds. I think this is their chance to pull clear, because either Liverpool beats Spurs, or Spurs gets a point. But either way, they need to do their own business and not worry about their rivals.
Yeah. I think as much as Leeds will give their all in this game, I just think Arsenal, if Leeds were playing against a mid-table team, or if Leeds were even playing against Chelsea, I'll say they can win, because let me put it like this. Chelsea feel they are not playing for anything, but to me, they are playing for something, because their top 4 place is not sure. But the players, for whatever reason, they think it's sure. So, but then, if Leeds were playing against United now, we are definitely not playing for anything. I'll say they can win, but Arsenal know what is at stake. Arsenal have it in their hands. And Arsenal are going to take all 3 points from Leeds. I'm sorry. If you're hoping for Arsenal to drop points, I'm sorry. Just come off it.
Yeah, agree. I can see people wishing and getting their... But Arsenal usually disappoints, but I don't expect them to disappoint in this one.
No, not this weekend, exactly. Maybe they disappointed in North London Derby. We won't put it past them, but not this one.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, La Liga, the champions play against their neighbors, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid refusing to give a guard of honor to Real Madrid. They said that they have respect for their fans. Do you support this, or do you think they are classless and they are not showing respect? Like, basically, they are classless, that they should be losers with things like respectable losers instead of sore losers, like some people are calling them.
I think, to me, I feel like there's the logic behind the guard of honor is just a show of respect. And the truth is, Real Madrid, they are the ones that show disrespect too much. There are occasions where Barcelona won the league and Real Madrid still had to still face Barca. And they didn't reciprocate, like, by giving the guard of honor, so they refused to do it. So I just feel like if Atleti, well, for whatever reason, if they feel like they don't want to do it, they don't have to, because Real Madrid, time and time again, they've shown that they don't have to do guard of honor for anybody. So yeah. So
yeah, yeah. Guard of honor is not it's not compulsory, but should it be made compulsory? Like, so to me, I look at it as, if you make guard of honor compulsory, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying that this is necessarily my opinion, but if you make guard of honor compulsory, that's like, it's going to make clubs sit up, because like, we need to make sure that we are the ones winning the league, so we don't have to give anyone guard of honor. Like, it will be a painful thing you don't want to be forced to do. It's like, do you think it might be a good thing for competitions? Like just the competitiveness of the league will go up just a notch if they do that. But all the leagues, La Liga, Premier League, Bundesliga, and so on.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, maybe because people will be feeling ashamed to be doing it, because now it's compulsory, so they might decide to step up. I see what you're saying, but at the end of the day, I feel like the value of it won't be as much, because now you're not doing it from your mind. It's like you're just doing it out of, I'm obliged to. So like, it's not something. It's not be as genuine and as,
it's no more a classy gesture. Yeah.
So that's the only downside to it.
Okay. What of this weekend fixtures? Real Madrid on a high, Champions League finalists for now, maybe even winners, we'll see. Against Atletico, who have had an underwhelming season, who comes out on top?
I think there'll be a lot of heated moments in the match, different clashes as they normally do. I think it will end in a draw. I don't think Atleti have the necessary firepower to beat Madrid. And I don't think Real Madrid, I don't think the way, because the way the build-up, we've seen a lot of hatred between the teams already from social media and from what we are reading from the press. So for me personally, I think, yeah, the match will be a draw.
I think Real Madrid will vest some players because they played extra time, grueling extra time. Although they are high, like, from winning the game, but still, their bodies will be tired. After the excitement and celebration and everything, the next day, they will actually feel that they played a match. So, when you have your key players who you want to play the Champions League, you don't need to put them in from the start in their very next league game. So, I expect people like Benzema and Vinicius to be on the bench. Maybe Kroos or Modric can start because they went off quite early. But then I expect the midfield of at least Kamavinga, they're like, they should be some rotation, basically. You know what would be the most painful thing for Atletico? If Madrid start with their second team and then bring on the first team later and still win the game, it would just be a disgrace.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing for sure.
And actually, would you put it past Madrid? I wouldn't.
No. Real Madrid have the ability to do that to any team. So, but I think it would be embarrassing for Atleti if that kind of situation happens. But we'll see how it goes. I'll still watch the game to see how it goes. I just pray it doesn't clash with any other fixture at that time. So yeah, let's see.
Yeah. Sunday evening. So I don't think there might be too many big games Sunday evening. So I think it will be good to watch it. Barcelona is now, the only reason I'm actually talking about this game is not because of Barcelona. Barcelona have nothing to play for. But Real Betis, on the other hand, are just a few points off top four, just 3 points behind Atletico Madrid. Can they sneak into the top four? And then if your answer is yes, that means they are probably going to beat Barcelona, if your answer is yes.
For me, when you say Barca, like, I feel like Barca, they've not sealed the top four yet.
Are you joking?
No. If they lose to what is it called? Real Betis, and they lose to something like Villarreal at the end of the season, like, obviously, the top four could be out of their hands. So, these are games where Barca needs to grind out that results.
Do you think it's more like must not lose, not like they must win?
Yeah. Must not lose. If you cannot win, Xavi Hernandez and your boys, at least don't lose. That's just it. Don't lose because if you lose, you're giving more points to your rival.
What do we actually expect?
I think Barca, they've been playing games. Weekend Thursdays, and all of that. Now they've had enough time to rest. There's no excuse. They should come into this game fresh, fit, and you know. So I expect, I expect Barca to come into this game fresh out of the blocks. They have Fati. I think Fati will get like the last 10 minutes or so of the game. So, bottom line is, I expect Barca to come.
That's nice.
I expect Barca to come. I know it's going to still be hostile territory, but I know that Barca, they have the firepower to still score goals. The only problem is defensively, but I still expect them to have enough to go over the line and not lose the game.
I expect Barcelona to win. All these things you're doing, you're talking as if Real Betis is Bayern Munich. All this, I expect.
No, this is not going to be easy. This is the worst Barca of weakness. Games that you expect them to win, they don't win it. So
but then this is a Betis that have thrown away a comfortable place in the top four.
Yeah, I remember at the start of this season, Betis were first at some point.
Exactly. So I expect Barcelona to win something like 2-0, 2-1. I don't see Barcelona scoring too many goals because it would be a 2-1 victory. Yeah, something like that. I don't see them scoring too many goals. And that's it for the league talk. Just before we round up, Mourinho go to the final of the Europa Conference League. And he was in tears. Now, obviously, this is a man that has won 2 Champions League titles, 2 Europa League titles. He has won leagues in multiple countries, multiple times. But this team means something to him, his love for the game, the fact that his reputation was in the mud because of United and Tottenham, and he's on the verge of making history, the first man to win all 3 European trophies.
He has already made history. He's the first manager to reach the final of the Champions League.
See, Europa League. I hate hearing it because
No. It's like whether you like it. No. Whether you like it, you like hearing it, or you hate hearing it, his name is already in the history books. Nobody will top that. He's already the first.
So wait. So now imagine Roma lose the final. You think Mourinho is going to care about entering the final?
No. You're not understanding me. Whether or not they win or lose. Let me give you an example now. Let's say in future there is another manager that reached the Europa League final and the Conference League final. But Mourinho is the first. His name will forever be there as the first. So like that already, it's already sealed. No one is ever going to take that away from him. And now when he now wins it, if he eventually wins this Europa League, that will not even make that achievement even more solid and grounded.
That is the achievement if he wins it. Because now, let me use your same example just before we round up. Imagine they lose the final now and someone comes and breaks Mourinho's record in terms of he doesn't just enter the 3 finals, he wins the 3 finals. Then what are we talking about?
No. See, no one can break it. Like, there's, see, for example, if there will be a manager sometime in the future that will get to those three finals, eh? And there will be a manager that there will be a manager that will possibly win it, eh? But Mourinho is the first. Like, that's what I'm saying. This one is not like, oh, he has arches. He's the first. Like, for example, if they open the record book and say, who is the first to do this thing? He is the first. That's what I'm saying. He's the first to actually get this feat. So, to me, he has done well for himself at Roma. To me, he has overachieved. So, he's setting the degree. Like I was saying, he has overachieved to a certain degree, and I feel like to cap the season off, he should just win the final, and that would be a solid end to the season.
Yeah, I hope. First of all, I hope Feyenoord fans are not listening to this. If you're listening, then I'm sorry, nothing against you, but I wish Mourinho good luck in the final. I want him to win because he has suffered enough. Like, his reputation, like I said, has taken a real beating. And so I wish Roma to win the final. And I agree that he has overachieved because Roma was depleted, like, in terms of what they've underachieved for years. Roma has not won a trophy in 14 years. 14 years. A club as big as that is crazy. So I think at least that's winning the Conference League is not the greatest achievement in the world, but at least it's starting from somewhere.
And yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. And then just to round up, I don't think Mourinho has lost in the European final. He won the one final, the two finals he got to with Porto, he won them, won Europa, won Champions League. He won the one final he got to with Inter. Then he won the Europa with United. He has not lost any major European final.
Yeah, me too. I don't think so. Yeah, I'm scratching my head to think, but I don't think so. I think he has always been there. He's due. I think the things he loses semi-finals and quarter-finals, but which not is, finals.
Which is actually crazy if you think of it. Yes.
Yeah. Mourinho's
yes, record not finals. Finals. Yeah, not finals.
I think the only so, person that has a better record, the only person that has a better record in finals is Pep Guardiola. And the person that have even beaten Pep Guardiola in the final, I think, is Mourinho as well. So yeah, Copa del Rey final, the one Madrid won.
I think by 2011. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
yeah. So, yeah, 2020. It should be 2011. Yeah, the Copa del Rey final. It was a classic.
I mean, one of the best goals of the last decade, as far as I'm concerned. And so, on that note, we thank you for listening to the latest episode, the podcast. And yeah, let me allow Leonard to say a few words.
There's nothing to say. Share to your friends, subscribe to the podcast, and goodbye for now.